2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is your DFS Army Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. I am your host today, Boomer's Daddy, and joining me is the one, the only, Mr. Bear here. Shy, how you doing today, brother?
Hey, everyone. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Okay, so it was a very interesting weekend in the NBA. We got a little bit more clarity. I can't say a lot. We've got a little bit more clarity now in the playoff picture. Unfortunately, the picture out west did not get any better.
it's a big mess right now.
We eliminated one team from contention, but literally anybody that's in the 4 seed or the 5 seed down can either finish in the 3 seed or they can finish out of the playoffs. So it's one of those things that is very, very difficult to kind of project. We're down to the last couple days. There's 3 days left in the regular season, today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Got 9 games on the slate today, got 6 games tomorrow, and 12 on Wednesday. So Wednesday is always good. It's always fun when you've got 12 games on the slate, and then you add in baseball, which likes to do day games every single day right now for the first couple weeks in April, and then it just adds in a whole new spectrum. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be a lot of stress at the same time.
Indeed it is. I think the biggest thing to look out for, which has been for the last couple weeks, are those teams you mentioned that are still in contention. That doesn't mean not to play teams that don't. That means that's where you go find your value. It's going to be one of those situations where if and when you do hit on your value plays from those teams, you're going to see a lot of green. I mean, example, the other night when I was telling everybody, just go play Ivan Rabb, go play Ivan Rabb, go play Ivan Rabb. The ones who did really, really came out really happy. I mean, we saw the screenshots of all the folks in the green that played Rabb, and Marshawn Brooks did really well that night as well. We'll talk about him here shortly, but you got to find the right ones. We'll make sure between Luz and myself to make sure you know who those value plays are.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, you know, it's where I think at the beginning to the middle part of the season, it's all about the studs and kind of finding some mid-range guys to kind of help you out and bring those along. I think with the end of the season, it's a lot more about the value plays, who's going to get the minutes and who's actually got talent to do stuff with the minutes, because bad chalk is still bad chalk, and it doesn't matter if they're getting minutes or not. It's not going to help you in your DFS lineup if they're running out there for 30 minutes standing in the corner and missing a bunch of threes.
That's the key, is can they do it? Like, a lot, I see a lot of guys, I'll give you an example, like Frank Ntilikina the other night when Mudiay was out, like, oh, I'm going to play him. Like, why? Well, he gets 30 minutes. I'm like, okay, but he can't shoot. He can't score. He's a good defender.
He's not handling the ball.
That's Burke's responsibility. And if you're not handling the ball and you can't shoot, what are you doing? You're not getting assists. You're not getting points. What are you doing? Okay, so you'll be guarding the opposition's best perimeter player, but guess what? You don't get fantasy points for that. So it's a very similar situation with Tony Snell. Although Snell actually will have an occasional good game, Ntilikina really doesn't. So yeah, it's really about opportunity and the ability to turn that opportunity into points.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, it's bad players are still bad players, and, like, you know, it's one thing when you have a guy that, he's getting 15 minutes off the bench and, he still gets up six shots, but now you're going to, theoretically, the easiest way to project that is if he gets 30s, he's going to get at least 10. Right. If he's a decent shooter, then some players are just better in small spurts.
Mm-hmm. That's very true.
So, I don't know. It's just one of those things like we still got to pay attention to. And I'll be glad when the NBA regular season is over. That way I don't have to worry about teams' rotations. And we can worry about playoff rotations, which are always, always a lot of fun.
They're relatively simple compared to the crap we've been seeing.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a little bit of some stats here on my guy, Nikola Jokic, who was named Western Conference Player of the Week. The last week, the Nuggets are 3-0, 23 points, 10.3 rebounds, and 9 assists over the week for Nikola Jokic.
Wow.
Most importantly, 3 wins, 0 losses, getting into the playoffs as of right now if they win. So
yeah, they can just go jump off a bridge right now. So
if they win all their games, they're in. If they lose one of their games and the other guys win their games, they're out. So they're playing Portland tonight. Why is that important? Because Portland is fighting for home court advantage. So both teams need to win, or at least want to. Denver needs to win. Portland wants to win.
Well, they both kind of need to win. Because yeah. Portland can finish as low as the 6th seed.
Right. But they're already in the playoffs is what I'm saying. Denver has the risk of not even making it at all if they lose. Like, they have to win. For them, if they lose, they could be gone completely from the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. So, and there's a couple teams like that. I mean, unfortunately, I hate to say it, but Oklahoma City's in the same boat. Yeah. Where they would be they'd be fighting for a 3 seed. And they can legit still get a 3-4 seed. They need some help, but it's kind of one of those things like take care of your business and let the chips fall where they may. Cause
that's all you can do.
I don't think anybody's really worried about Golden State right now because it's a little bit different because Durant in the playoffs and all this other stuff, but that's a different team without Curry.
Oh yeah. Curry is that team's heart. There's no
No. Draymond's that team's heart. Curry is what makes the engine. Curry's what allows. It's what balances it all out.
Like, without Curry, they don't win. Without Draymond, they can still win. That's what I'm getting at. Like we've seen.
See, I don't think they can.
Well, they've been losing kind of crappy teams here recently with Draymond.
No, right? I'm not saying that you can't win with you. I'm not saying you can't lose with Draymond. I'm just saying I think they need them all.
That I agree with. Absolutely.
Like I don't think if you get, 75% Curry and, half a Clay and all that, I don't think they win. So
yeah,
who knows? It should be something pretty fun to watch and everything. So it'll be good. All right. So we've got 9 games going here. Let's get rolling. Lots of stuff. I have not followed the outs. So if I mention somebody that is no longer in, forgive me. I have been loading MLB lineups for the last hour. Okay. So that's going to be something to as 8 just got freaking posted. That's going to be something that, you're going to have to kind of catch me on. So they will be adjusted and updated as, when the finals come out for the DS. But as of right now, they are not.
Okay.
So let's start off with point guard here. Obviously, the man of the hour, the guy that is that makes every engine go as I steal a pun or try to anyways. Russell Westbrook is sitting there at the top. He's 12-5. It's in Miami. Um, The point guard situation in Miami, as far as defending the point guard situation, and I'm never, ever, ever, like, afraid to play Russ in any matchup, just because I've seen him go off in any sort of matchup. It doesn't matter if it's good, bad, neutral, whatever.
Right.
But it's not as much of a shy away from as it used to be in the beginning of the season, where these guys were really kind of locking down point guards. They've kind of bleeded some points to the point guard position lately.
Yeah, they have been. And also keep in mind, they've been kind of back and forth with the resting players. I think once they clinched, they had one game where they kind of sat a bunch of their guys, and that game got pretty ugly. So you have to keep in mind that some of that's in there. But yeah, I mean, listen, like you said, I never shy away from playing Russ. He's at 12.5 here on FanDuel, which is way up there. Not like AD or anything, but I'm not. In tournaments, I think a lot of people will shy away because of matchup and because of the price, so I'm not too worried about it. But he's not my first point guard.
Oh, no. He's like, he's not my first point guard either. I will have some shares, but I will not have a ton of shares. It's just, I know he can go out and he can get 70 against anybody. So it's kind of one of those things, like, do I really want to, you know, fully fade a guy that can hit 70? It's just the same thing like with AD tonight. Do I really want to fade that type of upside? And I don't think I can. I don't care what the price is.
Yeah, I can't. With AD, I agree. I'm in the same boat there. I'm probably going to put – so there is some possibility to get lineups with both of those guys in there. But the possibility of both hitting 80 is kind of limited, I think. So you probably should go with picking just one. I don't think I'm going to be able to go without AD in like half of my lineups. I just don't. I mean, they've got nobody there to stop him over there. And it's with the Clippers. The Clippers don't really give a crap anymore because they're done. You know, they go and they bring out Boban. Cool, but he's going to run right past Boban in transition. Half court, different story, but in transition, he should be able to outrun him. So, yeah, I mean, I probably won't have too much exposure to Westbrook. I will probably take most of that exposure and probably put it closer to Damian Lillard. That's where I'm looking.
Yeah, that's the next guy that I wanted to kind of talk about was Damian Lillard. Look, man, did Portland play yesterday?
Yes.
All right, so now we're breaking a cardinal rule of going into Denver on the back end of a back-to-back.
Well, don't forget the one guy that kills back-to-backs.
Going into Denver on the back end of a back-to-back is
it sucks. I agree. It sucks.
It's not something I'm going. Where did they play yesterday?
I'm looking at you right now. Should I have to look at that? They did not play yesterday.
Okay, well then we can just basically take that up or take that away, so we don't have to worry about that. So yeah, now I really like Damian Lillard a lot better. Yeah. So I don't know, it's one of those things. I'll be pairing him with one of my favorite value plays the latter half of the season here a lot. So I will be pairing him and Westbrook together. I will also have some ping pong action with Jamal Murray and Damian Lillard as well. So,
good stuff there.
Jamal Murray has not shot the ball well lately, the last 2 weeks. It's only a matter of time. He's had a game or two here and there, but I can't fully negate Jamal Murray when they're fighting, especially if Gary Harris does miss. Okay. I just can't fully do it. So,
yeah, I mean, you know he's going to play. This is not a situation where, you know, Mike Malone's going to say, oh, you're not playing? Well, I'm going to pull you. No, you can't pull him. You got to win. You got to put your best guys in there. So
exactly. I don't know. It's kind of one of those things, like, I can't really, besides those top four guys, like Jeff Teague against Memphis, I mean, that game, I don't predict blowouts, but I mean, that game could get out of hand real quick, real simple.
Real quick.
And then you've got guys like Spencer Dinwiddie, who cares? But the guy that I'm looking for down on the lower end spectrum is going to be probably Dellen Wright. It's, you know, he plays minutes anyways, going up against Detroit. You know, they're probably going to rest or at least pull back on the minutes of Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet.
You should.
I'm probably going to stick with that. So Dellen Wright is going to be in a vast majority of my lineups. Mm-hmm. And I'm not really afraid of it.
I know it's early, but right now I'm 100%. So lots of Dellen Wright for me too. He's 4,400 on FanDuel. He's playing Detroit, who's kind of checked out. He'll get the minutes. Last night, so they did play last night, and I played him yesterday too, about 100%. He did really well. That was without DeRozan, so Van Vliet kind of left that game early, kind of hobbling around. I doubt they give him a ton of minutes, even if he plays. If we hear Lowry's out, then, I mean, there's no way you don't just lock him in.
Yeah.
And the other guy that I'm looking at here, so here's the guys I mentioned. We mentioned Westbrook, we mentioned Lillard, we mentioned Jamal Murray, we mentioned Dellen Wright. So there's a couple more that I want to talk, and you mentioned Teague kind of being in a blowout scenario. There's two more guys I want to discuss. The first one's going to be Eric Bledsoe. The question is always to play or not to play. I haven't played him in a while because he hasn't been doing it. He had one night where he did really well. I think that was Saturday. Where he was chalk and he went off. He scored in the 40s, so not off, but he did pretty well. Versus Orlando, I don't – listen, Milwaukee doesn't blow out many teams, but they're pretty close to the playoffs. I don't see him playing 35 minutes. So I'm a little bit concerned. I could see them giving more minutes to, like, Brandon Jennings versus Bledsoe, to make sure that Bledsoe's 100%. So I'm a little iffy on that. But the guy that I'm not iffy on is going to be, again, I'm going right back to the well with Trey Burke. So Trey Burke, Moody is out. Again, they don't have Tim Hardaway Jr. He's going to put up 25 shots again. Here's the most important part about the whole scenario. They're playing the Cavs. And although the Cavs have been winning games because they're getting into playoff mode, it hasn't been because of what they're doing on defense. It's been because of what they're doing on offense. Burke is going to get off a ton of shots. I got to see who's going to be playing. I think George Hill is questionable. I think he practiced, went through shoot-arounds, so he might actually be playing. We'll see. But I really like Burke versus the Cavs.
Okay. Yeah, I just don't like Trey Burke as a player. I don't think he's that great. I think he's a backup point guard in this league. I think he's a 15 to 20 minute guy. He's basically a skinny Raymond Felton. He's got games where he definitely, in my opinion, deserves a spot on an NBA roster. I don't think he's a guy this is one of the things that you have to do this time of year. You have to put aside your biases as far as players and go for guys that are going to play minutes. And I agree with you on Trey Burke. He's not a guy that I normally would like to play. He's not somebody that I think is a good NBA player, but he's somebody that's going to play 30 minutes. And he's playing for his NBA future. So he's got a little bit of motivation to go in there as well. I don't think he's worth 6,400. But we're talking about the landscape of NBA DFS right now, and this is what we've got to do. And I mean, I'd much rather play him over Rajon Rondo or Reggie Jackson, guys like that. So.
Oh yeah, I'm not going to draft him on my team, but tonight I got to play him. That's what I'm getting at.
Exactly. All right, let's hit shooting guard. It's not pretty. by the stretch of imagination, it is a landmine. I want to call it. You got guys like Dwayne Wade that are going to come out and probably play like 18 to 20 minutes, if that. It's not pretty.
It's not pretty at all. So the biggest bit of news so far that we've gotten is Caris LeVert was ruled out today. So you'll see a little bit more D'Angelo Russell here. Now, it's funny because certain players, FanDuel's all over moving them their position. D'Angelo Russell's been the starting point guard for a damn long time, and they still keep him at the shooting guard. But he's the team's point guard. So, you know, he's still
cheat
probably going
to... code.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to see around the same minutes playing Chicago. He might be my favorite play here. You've got a guy like Middleton who can put up 50 with the blink of an eye. The guy's a monster playing Orlando, who's got nobody to really stop him. But they also have no motivation to really play. So, you know, again, just like we talked about with Bledsoe, will that game stay close? I don't know. We don't even know if Giannis will play. If Giannis doesn't play, then I'm firing up Middleton for sure. If he does play, I think it'll take a lot of people off of him. So I might have a little bit of exposure there just to kind of ownership leverage kind of thing. We're going to be asked about DeRozan a lot. My answer is the following. I'm not playing him. He's not going to play full minutes. You're not going to pay over 7K for a guy who's not going to play full minutes in a game that's probably not going to be very close or very important to either side of playing the game. Now, the only motivation, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, is the Raptors still playing for home court advantage in the finals if they get there. So I think
it's almost pretty much solidified. Hold on. I think it depends on who they would end up getting there against. I think if they get there against Houston, then they don't have a shot. I think that's the only team that could really that they couldn't catch. But if it's like against Golden State, let's see, Houston 64-16. Yeah, so if it's against Golden State. Right now, they've got, it looks like, a one-game lead. If not, then if it's against anybody else other than Houston, then they have home court advantage. So Houston's got the best record in the NBA by far. I mean, they're 64-16. I mean, Toronto's got 22 losses. So.
Okay. Yeah, so, again, not much interest for them to run their star player out 35 minutes versus a lottery-bound team for a game that's meaningless. I'm just going to have zero DeMar. An interesting guy here. I definitely don't like the price. Again, it seems like you and I agree the game won't be super close, although Memphis with Marshawn Brooks lately has been somewhat respectable. Andrew Wiggins, the ADVP matchup versus Memphis here at shooting guard is just delightful. But the problem is, ever since Butler came back, and ever since really he came to the Wolves to begin with, Wiggins hasn't seemed to be very interested in the offense. He kind of just stands around there on the corner. If he catches the ball, cool, he'll shoot a three. If not, he's not trying to get open. He's not running around screens. He's not doing any of that stuff. So I have a lot of hesitation playing Andrew Wiggins.
I always have hesitation playing Andrew Wiggins just because of the fact that he doesn't do anything but score. And if he's having a bad shooting night, then that's not something I want a piece of.
That's curtains, yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, it's definitely one of those that it's definitely one of those that you need to pay attention to. But like you said, I mean, since Jimmy Butler came back and since he came to the team, you know, even when Jimmy Butler was out, it still looked like he wasn't that interested in it all the time. So,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. An interesting play here for me. There's two of them here that I really like. Actually three. The first one is Buddy Hield, particularly now with they still have what's his name over there, the backup shooting guard. Garrett Temple's out again. Now Frank Mason's out as well. Something with his heel. So, you know, I don't know if they start him or not, but you're going to see at least 30 minutes from Buddy Hield. He's under 6K. Certainly the Spurs are not the best matchup, but he's a guy that's been going off when he gets the minutes. Plus the Spurs are not the greatest at the shooting guard position. They have Patty Mills playing too. Patty Mills is a backup one. You know, feisty little guy, but doesn't concern me too much on the defensive end. So I'll be having a decent amount of Buddy Hield. The second guy that I'm really intrigued by at this position is one Ty Wallace. So the Clippers have
Tyrone.
Yeah, the Clippers have Austin Rivers out. They have Milos out. They have Lou Williams out. This guy's going to play damn near 40 minutes, man. And he's fighting, you know, he's fighting
Juwan
for a contract.
Juwan Evans is out.
That's right. Yeah. The only guy they have really there is going to be CJ Williams, who just signed a new 2-year contract. I don't know. I mean, the only guy that I see that I'm really, really interested in is going to be Ty Wallace. Cause we've seen him put up some really good games. And you know that the Pelicans are going to fight because they have to win ball games. And I see Ty Wallace fighting because he wants a contract next season. So I like that play a lot.
Yeah, I really do like Ty Wallace. The other one that I have a little bit of interest in is... I can't believe I'm going to say this. It's Kobe Simmons. You know, min price, $3,500. He's going to run some of the backup point guard duties there in Memphis. He's going to play 30 minutes. It's not for the faint of heart. He could only get you 15, but he could get you 35.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a wide range of outcomes for this late in the season. I'm not sold on it. I don't love it, but I've got some interest.
Yeah, I've got some interest too. The one thing I would just remind folks is that the last time, excuse me, the Timberwolves played the Grizzlies, they lost. In what was a very, very embarrassing loss against a really bad team for the Grizz that are trying to go into the playoffs as one of the favorites. They're not, but they think they are. They're going to have some revenge on their mind. So I think this game is a spanking. See how it goes. But that doesn't change, right? Kobe Simmons is still going to get 30 minutes. He's definitely intriguing for GPP.
Very, very, very intriguing. So, man. I don't know. It's. I might have some interest in Norman Powell. Some of these backup guys on teams where you're going to expect some of these regular starters to get limited minutes that are going to get some extra run. They're going to be guys to kind of watch as the news kind of breaks throughout the day. So,
Norman Powell a lot. Norman Powell did really well last night too.
Yeah, he did. That's why I've kind of look it in. I was listening to that game because there was nothing else to listen to on the drive home from Memphis. I was listening to that game on the radio and was kind of impressed. So, all right, let's go to small forward here. We got the two guys up at the top, LeBron and Giannis.
Yep.
Honestly, I don't think I'm going to be playing either one of them.
Yeah, I don't think I am either.
So.
I don't think I am either. I might have a little bit of LeBron exposure. And that's primarily because it's in Madison Square Garden. Not that that really matters at this time of the year, but he's always a threat. So I don't hate it. But I mean, it's one of those like just in case kind of plays. Now they are still fighting. They're just a game behind. I can't believe I'm saying this. They're just a game behind the Sixers. They're half a game ahead. I'm sorry, a game and a half ahead of the Pacers. Not so worried about that there, but they still do want, or they have a reason to win. still. So they're not completely out of it. So I'll have a little bit, but that's about it.
Yeah, it's really hard to. I don't know.
You don't like it?
Yeah, I just don't like it. Not for 12-2, not when I can play Anthony Davis, or I can go a little bit more balanced, or I can play Russell Westbrook. I know it's LeBron. I know that the other two are more expensive, but I honestly think like LeBron just doesn't really care about seeding.
Well, here's the thing that I want to get everybody thinking about. Last game LeBron played, he put up, what was it, 70-something? Or close to it. He's playing a Knicks team that's horrible on defense. He's going to see massive ownership, in my opinion, because of the situation.
Yeah, I agree.
So if he does have one of his... Look, either he doesn't play the entire game, or he has one of his games where he's trying to set everyone else up because... Everybody else can, you know, get theirs versus a defense like the Knicks. You're way ahead of the 40% of the field, assuming that he's 40% owned, or at least 35. So I do, however, have some reasonable interest in Paul George. I look at some of the matchups. You know, obviously you don't want to target anybody versus Jay Rich. Paul George is really much more of a guard. Much more on the perimeter than he is a forward. He's got the height, sure, but kind of the way I look at Kevin Durant. I look at Kevin Durant as a guard, even though he's a forward because he's tall. But George is a guard, and so in this particular game, where I'm not playing Westbrook, I probably want to have some exposure to Paul George.
I'm not going to disagree with you on that.
A guy that I cannot play is Jimmy Butler. He's not there yet. He's still getting his legs back. Memphis is bad at small forward, but if I'm paying over 8K for a guy, I need 32 minutes. He's going to be in the high 20s.
I want to hit that Jimmy Butler game before the playoffs. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah. It's tough.
Yeah, it is. It's tough.
I've got some interest in Marshawn Brooks again, just because of his... he's had some massive games. So I know you and I hadn't been a pod in a while, but when he was 3,500, I was telling everybody to play Marshawn Brooks. And he's done us really, really well. He's at 6,500 now versus Minnesota. So he'll probably end up playing versus a lot of the Wolves second unit, which bodes even better for him. I don't mind it at all. I don't know if I can play Michael Beasley. Yeah, I know it's versus the Cavs, but I don't think he gets – we saw last game he kind of was doing a lot of cheerleading from the bench. So I'm not sure how much Beasley plays, so I can't do that.
Around 20 minutes?
Yeah, you can't pay $6,500 for that. If you're going to pay $6,500, go get Marshawn Brooks. I mean, it's a no-brainer.
I'd much – and this says a lot. I'd much rather play Etuan Moore.
Etuan Moore's in a really good spot versus the Clippers. Absolutely.
It's there's so much right now that's like, do I really want to do this? Do I really want to do that? And like, I can see playing Rudy Gay at 52. Yeah. I can see playing Alan Crabb and Joe Harris right there in that $5,000 range. Heck, I can see playing Wilson Chandler. I don't know if I'm going to go play Marshawn Brooks. I think he does great. I'll probably have some exposure to him. But, like, there's a lot. I mean, CJ Miles is probably going to get more run tonight. He's min price. The question is how much value is too much value? You know, it's that's one of those things that you got to figure out. So.
So you basically named my small forward player pool outside of one guy you left out. So Joe Harris, by the way, is questionable all of a sudden. He's got something going on with his ankle. Yeah, he's got something going on with his ankle. That came out, you know, right before you and I hopped on. So that's something. I mean, they, you know, if it wasn't an issue, they wouldn't put that tag on him. So be careful there. If he sits, even more shots for Crabbe. You mentioned Rudy Gay. I like Rudy Gay a lot. For some reason, I can't stop picking David Nwaba. I mean, I'll explain to you why. But first of all, he's going up against Brooklyn, who doesn't have Damari Carroll anymore. So defensively, it won't be too much of a struggle. They're probably going to have a little bit of a faster-paced game here, with Dinwiddie probably running more of the two without LeVert available. Excuse me. And without Joe Harris available, it's going to be a pretty quick, fast-paced game. That really bodes well for Nwaba. You mentioned Wilson Chandler. I mean, versus Portland in a must-win game, I mean, it's hard not to love anyone from that team. And then as far as value goes, last night, OG Anunoby, career high. Don't chase the career high. He's not a shooter. He's a defender. If you're going to go there, I'd probably go back to CJ Miles, who's much more of a rhythm shooter. When he's on rhythm and he gets the minutes, he can really start popping shots. So
yep.
Take a look at that there.
Yep, absolutely. All right, let's move to power forward here. Start off at the top with Anthony Davis. Obviously, he's in probably one of the better spots of the slate. Then you got to back it up with LaMarcus Aldridge. Make no mistake about it, guys. The Spurs, they still got to win. You know, then you've got guys like Kevin Love, Nikola Mirotic, Paul Millsap, Tobias Harris, and Bobby Portis rounding out the top like eight or so. It's one of those things that I don't know really how I'm going to attack it. I do know that I want me a lot of Anthony Davis, and if I'm fading Anthony Davis in those lineups, it's backing up with Russell Westbrook and probably some LaMarcus Aldridge.
Love LaMarcus. I mean, they've got no one there to guard him right now. Like you said, they have to win. There's no way around it. But there is a guy that you didn't mention that is in my top 10 for power forwards. And that's going to be Pascal Siakam. And the reason why I like Siakam, Ibaka is out. There's some other – we'll have to wait and see who else sits there. But versus Detroit, I mean, Siakam could see 30 minutes.
Okay, so let's talk about this for a second, because I think this is probably where – and this is one of the edges that we're going to give away out to the free public. This is, I think, where we can actually gain a lot of edge. Guys, all these backups for Toronto, play them.
Yeah.
Play them. I'm talking Delon Wright, Norman Powell, CJ Miles, Pascal Siakam, Jakob Poeltl. Play these guys. They're the best bench in the NBA. Some of these guys could probably be starting for at least half the teams in the NBA, if not three quarters of them.
Easy.
Play them.
Yeah.
They are good players, and now they're going to get extended run at a cheap discount price tonight. If you want to, if you're not sure exactly where to go for value, go to the Toronto backups.
I like it.
Sorry, that was just my like little rant there.
That's all right. You mentioned Bobby Portis. I actually really like Portis. I might even pair him up with Aldridge in a couple lineups. I like it a lot. And then we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the guy finally out of his slump, the beardless Nikola Mirotic. Now, the problem with Mirotic is he's 6,900 now because he's been playing well. So that makes it really difficult to play him in a lot of lineups. He'll kind of have to be like your featured power forward almost at that price. So just something to think about.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
In terms of value, you've got Ivan Rabb again. We'll play at least 30 minutes. He's gone up. He's up to 5,300 now, but you're going to look at least 30 minutes from him versus Minnesota. He's going to play whether the game's close or not. They want to see what he can do. So I would definitely look there. And then maybe some Montrez, maybe. But besides that, that's about it.
I mean, you could probably even talk me into some Quincy Acy, some Ken Burke, some Luke Kornet down at the bottom end, maybe some Anthony Tolliver.
Yeah,
especially if we get word that Drummond's going to be out. So, not saying that he is or he's questionable. I don't want to freak anybody out, but this is the end of the NBA season, so we just don't know.
All right, let's move on
to the center position. This is mine and your favorite spot of the night. Starting off with one, Nikola Jokic.
Man, I don't. Tough. It's really tough. I mean, the guy. I think I were we on when I told you his stats?
Oh, I know his stats. I know his stats versus Portland.
Yeah. Well, I know you do, but we got listeners.
They're very, 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 very good.
Yeah, and then I mean, there's two sides of that matchup, right? There's also Nurkic, who played in Denver for a long time, who's coming back into Denver with his team, who has a chance to not let them into the playoffs. Like, these guys are petty. I mean, if he can stop them from getting into the playoffs, he would love nothing more. And again, they both have reasons to win. I'm okay with either one of those players right now. Jokic is probably going to be the top, not only in price, but in performance and, you know, abilities and talent and you name it. The last week, so Jokic, Western Conference Player of the Week, 23 points, 10.3 rebounds, 9 assists, 2.3 steals. Nuggets 3 wins, 0 losses in the last week alone. This is a guy that knows he needs to step up to get his team in, and that's what he's been doing.
Yeah. Yeah, he has. And he's been staying out of foul trouble, which is something that he couldn't do there for about a month-long stretch in the middle of the season. So,
yeah,
I actually do like that. Like I said, I like Jakob Poeltl.
Jakob.
Especially, and here's the situation. I want Jonas to not be announced out, and then be announced out like right after lock. Like,
he just sat.
I don't care.
So you think he's gonna sit again?
I don't think. I'm hoping.
Okay, gotcha. Well, the thing about Joval though, even if he does play, he ain't playing more than 25 minutes. So, I mean, I wouldn't worry about it so much. According to our projections right now, with Joval in, we've got Poeltl playing a few more minutes than Valanciunas is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, I completely agree with you. I just, you know, for the situation on how heavy I'm going to probably be on Jakob Poeltl at 4,100,
yeah,
that's what I want to happen.
Gotcha.
So, all right, so let's go. Scal's already been ruled out, so... And I believe Zebo's out too. Is he not?
It's not official, but it's you never know with that guy, man.
Okay, so we've got Willie Cauley-Stein and Kostas Koufos there in Sacramento that we can go to. The guy that is probably going to pop off a lot of the sheets that we have, at least a lot of mine, is going to be Kylo Quinn.
Kylo.
We got him projected for 30 minutes, and man. If we can get 30 minutes out of Kylo Quinn against the Cleveland Cavaliers.
It's tough to turn that down, man. It's tough to turn that down. The guy is a workhorse. He's a monster. The Cavs are atrocious defensively. Big guys have been coming in. Everybody's been coming in and just doing what they want with them. But here's the thing. He's now 7,500 on FanDuel. That's very different than where he's been pretty much all season long, with some exceptions that Cantor and Porzingis went down. So he's expensive, but like you said, if we can get 30 minutes of O'Quinn versus the Cavs, I'll pay that for him.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think a lot of people are going to pay it. So I'm going to have, you know, my fair share of them. So, I don't know. That's pretty much all I got, right?
I've got a little bit of interest in some of the lower guys here. So I've got a little bit of interest in Jared Allen, a little bit, versus Chicago, where the matchup is just fantastic for him.
That was who I was going to talk to you about. Are they playing? You're going to have to forgive me because I haven't watched a Magic game in a while.
Okay.
Are they playing Bismack and Booch on the floor at the same time?
No. No. The reason why Biz is showing increased numbers is because Vooch sat for one game, and he came in, and he was a monster. He put up like 40 or something, or 30-something. But no, he still backs him up. He's going to play more probably than Vooch will, because Vooch played yesterday. They've got no reason to win. So you're probably going to see in the mid-20s from Biz.
Well, that'll work.
That's good. At 4K, that's great. However, I think in the price range, I'm looking at three guys. You mentioned Jakob. The second one is going to be Deontay Davis versus Minnesota. That is not good defensively down low. And Davis with Marc Gasol and Jamichael Green and all these guys that are out, he's going to play. He's close to him in price. 38 on FanDuel, I'm not sure what he is on DK, but he's really cheap for a lot of minutes. He's not going to give you 50, okay? But he can definitely get you 10x. He's got that potential. And then the last, and when I say last, I mean like 10% out of 100 lineups, okay? Here is going to be Boban. Boban is... by the way, Gary Harris is likely to play today, it looks like.
Well, there goes all my Will Barton shares.
Well, here's the thing about that. Nobody's going to want Will Barton now. You're going to get Will Barton. So keep in mind, Gary Harris is not going to play 35 minutes like he usually does.
Ah, that's true. I forgot about that.
He just came back. He'll maybe get 24. And now you have Will Barton getting to destroy with all of the usage versus that second unit. I'm in. I like it. At like 5%. I like it.
All right.
So back to Boban. Again, the Clippers don't really have much to play for. Frankly, they're probably not going to stay very close in this game considering who they're rolling out here. So I don't see why Doc wouldn't just play some Boban. And when Boban plays, Boban produces. I mean, that's given.
Well, yeah, he's 9 feet tall and can touch the back of the backboard without even getting on his freaking tippy toes.
I mean, he tippy toes to dunk. It's crazy. But so I'm going to have a little bit of exposure there. That's probably the lowest I'm going to go.
I don't know. I'm not going to take. I don't foresee me taking a shot just to try to get 10 minutes or like 15 minutes out of Boban.
I don't see 15. I think, you know, it's one of those where DeAndre is like, hey, coach, I'll play, but I don't really want to play. And I think Boban might even see in the 20s. That's why I'm interested. If I'm thinking he's playing
DeAndre
15.
DeAndre's fighting for a contract.
No, DeAndre, he just got a contract.
No, he didn't. Yeah.
He wants to go to a new team.
No,
that's what he wants.
He's an unrestricted free agent after this year.
Oh, he's unrestricted. Okay.
Yes. He got a new deal 2 years ago. It was only a 2-year deal. Either that or he's got a player option for next year and he can opt out. I'll have to – hold on. I've got to do this on air. So we're going to do this. So LA Clippers, and we're going to go click on DeAndre Jordan. And let's see here. All right, give me his contract. It says NBA experience 9 years, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so I don't have the contract. Oh, here it is. Jelani Light, 2015. Signed a multi-year contract with the Los Angeles Clippers.
22. $22 million.
Yep.
Sheesh.
So he's getting $22 million, and this is the final year. 2018-2019 is reportedly a player option. If he opts in, that would be a $24 million tag. So the Clippers are hoping that he opts out.
Yeah, they want him out.
I'm assuming.
Well, I don't know about that, because if he opts out, they get nothing in return for him.
They're not getting anything in return anyways. Nobody's going to take that freaking $24 million hit on a freaking traditional center.
A lot of teams have really been wanting him.
Yeah, for the right price. But who's... But I don't see them getting back anything even close to value in return for a $24 million hit.
Well, not value, but something. I mean, because he's just going to walk away. And listen, maybe they want that.
Basketball Reference, I love you. They've got a down at the bottom end of the player page, and I know we'll get out of here in just a second. But down at the bottom end of the player page, they've got a Hall of Fame probability calculator.
That's great.
You want to know what his is?
Sure.
And I love DeAndre Jordan. I think he is one of the, like, I love him. What he's done with his free throw, like, it's, he's a very, very, very good NBA player, in my opinion. It's just the way that the NBA is going, it's not like that. His active and career Hall of Fame probability is 1.6%.
Oh, wow. That's pretty bad.
Yeah. So, there is nobody at guaranteed rate field or whatever they call that place in Chicago now. Used to be U.S. Cellular. So, all right. So that's going to do it for us today. Guys, I believe it's you and Al on Friday, right? And you're going to have a playoff.
Yes.
First round playoff preview. I will be back with you starting the second round of the playoffs. So from here on out, at least for me, all the NBA pods are going to be playoff previews, and then you've got two more days, I believe, right? Yeah.
Correct.
So we'll have some fun.
I'm looking forward to it.
Winding down to a end of another regular season, a very, very successful one, might add you. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So for Bear, for me, for the DFS Army, oh, wait. We forgot to do this. Oh, man. So, for those of you that don't know, the Masters was this weekend. And first off, Ricky Fowler, Jordan Spieth, Rory that finished in second? No, Fowler finished in second. And then congratulations to Patrick Reed. I know he's a long-time listener of the show, by the way. Plays a lot of NBA DFS. Nice. And then, you know, my wife's boy, Ricky Fowler finished in second. Nice. You know, if he would have shot one stroke better, you would have tied and they would have gone into a playoff. But we had a lot of huge wins, huge, huge wins in DFS this weekend for the Army. Super Splash Bros, I don't know your real name, and I don't like to give out real names on the pod, because if you don't want people to know, then you don't need to know. He won $100,000 on FanDuel playing the Masters. So congrats to him. Patrick Reed wins the Masters and changes his life. This is what I would suggest to you, Splash Bros, is find out some way to thank Patrick Reed. And everybody else in that lineup. So I would find out some way to do that. Whether you reach out to him on Twitter or whatever, because that's life-changing money. And you may never hit that again. And you want to make sure that you pay back the fantasy gods.
Absolutely.
So, or go buy a green jacket. One of the two. So congrats to him. Congrats to everybody else. That I know we had a couple big NASCAR wins. We've had some really big NBA wins too. Over the last couple days. So congrats to everybody. And okay, now we're out.
Sounds good. Bye, everyone.
Peace.